you beautiful spirits. You are listening to the wonderfully diverse WAIF Cincinnati, your favorite listener-supported radio station, 88.3 FM in Cincinnati, and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. WAIF, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect those of WAIF, its Board of Trustees, staff, or programmers. The opinions expressed on this program are my own views or those of my guest. And I want to thank you for listening again this week to Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. I'm Reverend Louisa Dyer, an interfaith and metaphysical minister, your host every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern. And what we're doing here on this show is tapping into the power and the beauty and the divine love that lives within all forms of life. It animates every life. Nothing would be living without God, without that source of divinity that animates it. So that means you and that means me. And if and when we actually welcome that connection with the divine spark of life that lives inside each and every one of us, we can begin to wake up to the beauty and the glory and the love and the joy that's in life itself, and we can find that peace that lives inside of us. And my purpose always is to inspire and to give you very practical ways to live a happier, more peaceful life, to actually reclaim the vitality that comes from knowing God within us, that comes from knowing that deepest truth that lives in our heart and learning how to live from that. Personal and spiritual growth, they're my passion. And so my intention is always to share that passion and hope it inspires you to find that inside of you and to find your own passion. Because when we're really living from our heart and from our passion, we're in touch with that inner peace that passes all understanding. It lives inside of our connection with Source, with God, whatever you call that. And so we're all about tapping into that greater vitality, finding more joy than we've ever found before, and having a more consistent awareness and experience of that wholeness that lives inside of us, because that's how we feel alive. And I love to feel alive, don't you? Last week we did something a little bit different on the show. We had an interview with Becky and Nina from Grailville. Wow, what an amazing place Grailville is. It combines like community involvement and organic gardening, and it's a spiritual retreat center. It's also a place where you can have lots of events. It's really quite an amazing space, and I was very happy to hear them tell about its history, and I was quite amazed to find out how broad the scope is there. So if you don't know about Grailville, well, you can go to their website, grailville.org. And before that, the week before that, we were talking about Bruce Lipton's best-selling book called The Biology of Belief. And in that book, it actually explains how what we think affects every cell in our body, and how what's going on in our cells actually shapes what happens in our lives every single day. So science backs up what mystics and spiritual teachers and actually even therapists have known for a really long time, that emotions live in the body. Our perception of what's going on not only directly affects what we think is going on, but it actually affects our health. And I love it when science proves what mystics have always known. And quantum physics, of course, has been doing that for about 100 years. But it hasn't moved into our medical understanding or our medical science so much yet. It's beginning to with energy medicine and all the various energy psychologies. And we're going to be talking about that a good deal today. Because the problem is that, it's like Bruce explained in the book, and neuroscience has backed him up, is that 5% of what goes on inside of us is actually conscious. 95% of what goes on inside of us is unconscious. And so if we've got some subconscious programming going on, meaning something that we learned when we were a child before we had the brains to actually think about what we were taking in, we just, you know, as children, we just absorb everything around us. So whatever we are exposed to with our parents and our teachers and our friends, our churches, our video games, the TV, whatever it is that we're exposed to as very young children, especially up until the age of six, it's like that just imprints on us and it becomes part of the truth inside our subconscious minds, because we don't have filters yet when we're that young, and we don't have any way of saying, oh, well, that's ridiculous. We just take it all in, and so we wind up with all this sort of below the level of consciousness programming that's inside of us. And then, you know, later on in our lives when we're 30, 40, 60, whatever, and we decide we want to do something. And if that's something we decide we want to do, like the last New Year's resolution that you made, or the last diet you attempted to do, if that thing that you consciously decided to do is in conflict with some of that subconscious programming, the programming that's below your level of consciousness, you don't even know that it's there, guess what's going to win? It's like that subconscious programming is going to win, because it's 95% of you, and what's conscious is only 5%. So the moment you take your attention away from whatever your new goal is, your behavior is going to revert back to whatever that subconscious programming is, because that's what you're doing automatically without even thinking about it. And so that's really what we're going to be talking about today, and it's really quite exciting, is if we don't know what's going on in the subconscious that's causing all of our suffering, whether that suffering is physical illness or mental or emotional problems, or whether it's a sense of feeling spiritually disconnected, if the problem, if the root of that problem is below our level of consciousness, well, then how do we ever change it? Because we can't really make a choice about something that we don't know anything about. And so that's kind of always been the challenge in therapy or in all the various kinds of healing work that is out there, is we only know what the sort of the symptom of the problem is. We don't actually know what the problem is because it's buried in our subconscious. And so what we're going to be really looking at today is how do you access that subconscious information and make a conscious choice about it so that you can release that old programming and actually live a life that you want to live instead of continuing to live by all that old negative programming that you don't even like in the first place. So that's what we're going to be talking a lot about today, and I'm actually very excited to do that. I also want to read something that you may not know about, and this is about underwriting for WAIF. Do you have a business that you would like to underwrite on WAIF? We offer very cost-friendly rates. We can target your underwriting to any show that you choose. Call one of our underwriting experts today at 513-351-1538 or 513-226-5585 and find out how you can get your business information to our listeners. The cost of underwriting is very affordable. You can underwrite and still stay within your budget. WAIF will help you reach our community with your message. You'll be helping your business as well as this great radio station. WAIF 88.3, what radio is meant to be. Wonderful. And so I just really want to say thank you to all of our listeners, because we are a volunteer public radio station, and without listeners like yourself, I wouldn't be on the air. And as an expression of my appreciation, I invite you to download a free higher self guided meditation from my website, which is just my name, louisadyer.com. And that gives you an easy way to begin connecting with the inner divinity that we're talking about on this show. Another expression of my appreciation is I've made a Facebook page for this show, and it's on Facebook called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, which of course is the name of the show. And it's always filled with uplifting, positive messages. But I really created it because it's a chance to ask questions, make comments, interact with other listeners. Let me know what you really want to hear about on this show, what really turns you on. And at some point, I would like to start doing more interactive, listener interactive stuff where we get to start hearing people's personal transformational stories. I did that when I co-edited a magazine in Asheville, North Carolina called Spirit in the Smokies, and it came out every month and it was filled with these stories of people's transformations, and it could be, you know, it could be emotional stuff, it could be spiritual stuff, but I'm going to tell you a little transformational story of my own today, and I'd love everybody to start thinking about transformational stories of their own, and we can interact about that on the Facebook page, or you can email me, that's info@louisadyer.com, and I'd love to get people on the show to talk about their transformational stories. We can do that. You can come into the studio and we can do that, or we can do that by phone. I know there are people listening all over the country, and so we can do those interviews by phone if you would like. But anyway, what we are talking about today is something called energy psychology. And the reason we're talking about it is because energy psychology is a way to deal with what's in the unconscious or the subconscious and make it become conscious so that it can then be released. Because as a lot of people who do healing work, whether that's, you know, body-oriented healing types of work, or whether that's therapy, or whether that's self-healing work, a lot of people realize that, you know, you can spend forever talking about something, and occasionally something might change, but it seems to take a really long time. And I've known this for a really long time, and was a psychologist for many years. Don't really call myself that anymore, but that's my background. And I was always frustrated by how slow everything was, how long it took to really make a change, and how many times somebody would really want to make a change, but then no matter how much they decided they were going to do that or how much willpower they exhibited, they would always just revert back to whatever their old programming was. And so starting around 1979 or 1980, I started trying to find ways that would find out what is that subconscious programming and how do I clear it so that I don't keep doing the same things over and over, even when I don't want to be doing them and I've decided to do something else. Well, a lot of other people had that same idea. And over the last 25 to 30 years, a whole lot of different energy psychologies have been created. And basically what energy psychology is that's really a really broad term. It's a name for a really wide range of things that sort of put together good psychology and the human energy system. And when I say the human energy system, I mean a bunch of different things by that. That's why I say energy psychology is very broad. For at least 3,000, 5,000 years, the Eastern medicine has used the energy flows in the human body as part of their healing techniques. So if you've ever been to an acupuncturist, or you know anything about acupressure or reflexology, or actually even massage therapist, use these energy flows that are in the body. And the theory is that when the energy flow in the body is working properly, when everything is lined up and working properly, then the body actually knows how to heal itself. And so there's a whole lot of energy psychologies that have been developed that very intentionally utilizes one of those human energy systems, such as the meridian system that I've just been talking about, which is the Eastern understanding of how energy flows throughout certain channels in the physical body. And this has been now mapped by science, and Western medicine has actually finally accepted because they can see it. You can see the energy fields. They're electromagnetic. They're in the brain. They're around the body itself. They're around every organ. They actually surround every cell that's in the human body. And so this electromagnetic field is part of what's called the meridian system, or it's the, you know, ancient Chinese system that's, some people call it qi, but it's just the energy flow and the channels that that energy flow takes throughout the body. Some of the energy psychologists use the chakra systems, which is another, that's more Hindu or Indian understanding of the different energy systems that are also in throughout the body, all the way from the top of the head to the base of the spine. And it doesn't really matter which of these systems you use, because what we know from a lot of scientific research as well as a lot of spiritual research is that there is one energy in the whole universe. I call that energy God. You can call it whatever you would like to. But that energy is in everything. It surrounds everything. And energy psychology taps into that in one form or the other and combines it with what I think of as really cutting-edge psychological information. And it brings it together in a particular format. And then you have an energy psychology. And what happens in energy psychology is that we in whatever form we do it, we correct whatever the imbalance or the disruption is in that energy system. And what it does is it brings balance back into that internal pattern. And what we wind up doing is actually rewiring our own electromagnetic field. And so in a lot of these energy psychologies, and I'll talk more about specific ones in a moment, but it's been shown over and over and over, lots of research is just now beginning to be done, but I've done my own personal research because I've been involved in energy psychology in one way or the other since the probably 79 or 80. But what is seen is that the changes that happen with energy psychology usually happen within just a few minutes. And yet that inner transformation that they create is often very profound and lasting. It's enduring. And energy psychology can be used to treat everything from physical issues, physical pain or disease, to mental and emotional problems, to actually that deep sense of disconnection from self or from source, from God. And some of them are better suited to some people than others are. And so that's why I'm really, really glad that there are a whole bunch of different kinds of them, because, you know, then everybody can find something that works for them. And the idea is to, in my opinion, the idea of energy psychology is to, in whatever way it's used, to get present with whatever has been unconscious, so that presence, God, source, whatever you call that divine spark that lives in you, if you get present with what's unconscious, then presence actually will shift that unconscious into more presence. You know, it's like, I think that's how Jesus healed. You just had to touch him, just had to believe in it. And his presence woke up, brought light into the darkness of whatever that illness was. And the light is what wholeness is. And so the idea that we have to actually delve into our past to try to figure out what the problem is and clear every little thing in our subconscious, first of all, it's impossible because it's never ending. If 5% of us is conscious and 95% of us is unconscious, well, good grief, when are we ever going to get to the end of that? We don't. It's a never ending. It's a never ending thing. So it's not about finding, because what the unconscious really is it's your past living still inside of you. And you don't need to go dredging it up, in my opinion, because it still lives inside of you, it shows up. It shows up in your body. It shows up in what's going on. If you have a disease process going on, it shows up in your life situations. And what a lot of teachers know is that most physical illness, as well as emotional and mental problems, are actually spiritual in nature. I certainly believe that. I've worked with people for over 30 years, and what I have discovered is that no matter what the presenting symptom is, whether it's a physical illness or whether it's schizophrenia or whether it's just a phobia or just basic, you know, everyday sort of quiet misery, It all comes back to feeling disconnected from God, feeling disconnected from that source of energy inside of us. And so what we do when we're doing energy psychology is we start with whatever's up. We start with whatever the problem is, however it's manifesting. And then we use energy psychology with that. We don't have to go delving in the dark. We just bring light to whatever's showing up that's dark, and the light transforms it. It transmutes it. This whole concept is actually explained very beautifully in Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, and also in his book, The Power of Now, or the book I love even more, which is called Practicing the Power of Now. It's also in Dr. David Hawkins' book called Healing and Recovery. And both of those really give you, just show you, tell you, explain that if you can just get present with whatever the problem is, then the problem disappears. It's that simple. The challenge is we don't know how a lot of times to actually get present with the problem. We don't know what that means. And we don't even know how to get present. And then a lot of times we don't even know what the problem is, either one. So that's where energy psychology comes in. It gives you a way to get present with the problem without being overwhelmed or feeling like you cannot possibly address this. So, exciting stuff, energy psychology. And there's a whole bunch of different ones, and I'm just going to tell you the names of a bunch of them before we take a little musical break, just in case you want to look them up. And then we'll talk more about each one of those when we come back. The Cameron Method, which is the first one I learned. There's EFT, which is the Emotional Freedom Technique. There's PEAT, P-E-A-T. There's TAT, which is the Tapas Acupressure Technique. There's WOW Processing, which is something that I helped co-create. There's something called Psych-K. There's Advanced Energy Psychology or Energy Diagnostic and Treatment Methods. There's something called Negative Affect Erasing Method and Energy Consciousness Therapy or ECT. Those are just a few of the better known ones, and there are probably hundreds of lesser known ones. But we will talk more about each one of those. I'm going to play a little music for you now just to give you some time to think about what we've been talking about and look at what the challenges are in your life and figure out what might be driving those. I'll see you back here in a few moments.
How do you know how I feel? Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. We'll be right back.
your listener-supported radio station. For those just joining us, I am Reverend Louisa Dyer, your host every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern on 88.3 FM and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. Our show is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And today we are talking about how to heal the subconscious programming that makes us do things we wish we didn't do, that creates all these painful situations in our lives, that causes us to suffer when we don't want to be suffering. It's like we're really talking about how to wake up and give up all that suffering. And we do that by getting present. The problem is most of us don't really know how to get present. We don't even know what that means. We don't even know that we can. And so that's where energy psychology comes in really handy, because there's a bunch of different types of energy psychology, some of which you can do on your own, some of which are better facilitated, some of which you need a facilitator for. But a lot of them you can do on your own, and it gives you a way to actually address your own suffering, and it's very empowering. And we're going to talk a lot more about those different ways and how to do that. So we are talking about how to make what's been unconscious conscious. And why would we do that? Because it's the unconscious programming that keeps us doing things that we would rather not be doing, that keeps us suffering when we would not want to be suffering. I'm sure anybody who's been alive for the last 15 or 20 years has heard the phrase, you create your own reality. And you know, there is the reality of reality. We're not personally responsible for that. But there is some truth to the idea. We're responsible for what we experience. That's the basic idea. I don't think we create reality. I think God did a fine job of that. However, we are in charge of what's going on inside of us. The problem is that so much of what's going on inside of us, we don't even know it's there. So how do we change or make choices about something that we don't know exists? Well, I'm going to tell you a little story about how I got interested in this whole thing anyway. And it was in 1979, I suddenly developed a very, very, very severe case of endometriosis. If you don't know what that is, then, you know, look it up, because it's very painful, and I don't want to offend anybody by talking about something that personally is a little gross. But anyway, trust me when I tell you, it is excruciating. So I suddenly developed this endometriosis, and I tried everything in the world to heal it. Every natural thing that existed in 79 or 80, I did it. All the way from praying with nuns and priests in temples, every religion there was, to chiropractic, to nutrition, to hypnosis, to alchemical hypnotherapy. I mean, I tried every mainstream and non-mainstream thing that existed to try to heal this endometriosis, and nothing helped. For 5 months, nothing helped, even though I worked at it really, really hard. And it just so happened that somewhere during that process, I had started taking this class, and it's now a thing called the Cameron Method, C-A-M-E-R-O-N. And the woman and her husband had started it, Sharon Cameron. And basically what it was is it was a way to find out what your subconscious beliefs were that were holding you back, that were damaging you, that were creating addiction, or, you know, being overweight or sabotaging your success. Or it was just to find out what are the subconscious beliefs and then change them. And, you know, of course, I didn't think this had anything whatsoever to do with what was going on with the endometriosis. That never occurred to me. But anyway, so we were having this class, and I was having this extreme pain, and it was worse once a month. But one time I missed a class because I was in severe pain, and I talked to Sharon afterwards to explain to her why I'd missed the class. And she said, oh, come over tomorrow and we'll fix it. I'm like, what? She said, oh, yeah, we'll just find the programming for it. We'll change the programming and we'll heal it. Well, it really made me angry, because, you know, basically she was telling me this extreme pain that I was experiencing in my body was all in my head. Well, my ego really didn't like that, and it really, really annoyed me. And so I sort of, you know, told her off. And she didn't mind at all. She didn't even get upset. She just said, come over. We'll fix it. You don't have to believe it. It doesn't matter. Well, you know, basically I thought she was, you know, a little loop-de-loo. But since she was my teacher, and since I was trying to learn this thing, and since she was offering to do this for free, and I was in great pain, I thought, well, why not? You know, what have I got to lose? So I went over to her house, and we spent 6 hours, I'm not kidding you, 6 hours of doing what I call playing 20 questions, where she was going through this whole long list of questions. It was the protocol for finding out what was at the core of this severe pain of the endometriosis that I was having. And, I mean, it went on and on and on. I didn't think we were ever going to finish. And then at the end, it literally took about 6 hours. And then we got to what she thought was the core of it. I said three sentences, really, literally, I said three sentences. And she said, okay, now you're better. Well, I didn't feel anything shift. I didn't feel anything change. And I thought she was full of it, you know. I'm like, how do you know I'm better? She said, because we cleared the core of it. Well, I actually, this was on a Friday night when I missed the class, and on a Saturday when I was there with her, and I was actually scheduled for surgery on Monday. It was the second time I had been scheduled for surgery, and my doctors had been wanting me to do surgery months ago, and I kept trying different things and putting it off, and so I told her, you know, I was scheduled for surgery to deal with the endometriosis on Monday, and she said, well, you know, I'm not going to try to tell you what to do, but I would invite you to think about just postponing the surgery until after your next menstruation and see if you actually need it. Well, I thought about that, and I checked about that, and that seemed like a good idea because I really didn't want to do surgery anyway. And do you know what? I was healed. Literally, it took three sentences after finding what was at the core of it. And I'm not going to get into the whole long story because it's quite an amazing story, but when we, if I actually get people who are interested in sharing their transformational stories, I will share that whole story of what that root of that was and how it got activated to create endometriosis. But suffice it to say that it was a conflict inside of me, and it had been laying dormant for a long time, actually since I was 11 years old, and something had happened in my life that made me, my conscious self, in conflict with this subconscious programming that I didn't know anything whatsoever about. And that conflict is what created the endometriosis. That conflict is where all the pain in my physical body was actually coming from, and it was a psychological conflict. And so when that happened, and basically, literally, I said three sentences. And I'm going to tell you two of those sentences because I think if you just know these two sentences, you can help clear a lot of problems in your life. So I'm continuing to talk here while you get a pen and paper because these sentences, I'm not going to give you the whole list because it would take too long. But the first one is simply, I release all fear of whatever it is, whatever you're feeling afraid of. And the second one is, I release all need or desire to fear, whatever that same thing was. Those were the first two of the four sentences I said that completely healed the endometriosis. Of course, we had to get to the root of it first. And the Cameron method, where we went through this whole long protocol of answering all these questions to find out this and that and this and that and playing 20 questions, we were using kinesiology or the pendulum to access what my subconscious beliefs were. And when you're doing that, you can get a yes answer or a no answer. That's why I call it playing 20 questions. So, you know, we would ask a question, it would either be yes or no. And what we were testing was my subconscious beliefs. And so that was sort of my introduction to this whole field of where what's going on in the mind, and especially in the subconscious mind, is actually directing what's going on in the body. And so I got so excited by this. This was before I had actually studied psychology. But I got so excited by this that I immediately did a research project because basically I'm a scientist by nature. And I put an ad in the paper and I asked for any women who had this problem or related problems. And I got 25 women who responded and I worked with, I think, 23 of them. And the most amazing thing to me is the vast majority of those women, I think like 19 out of 21 that I actually wound up working with 21 women. 19 out of the 21, the root of their endometriosis or the problems they were having related to that were very, very similar to what mine had been. And when we cleared that subconscious programming, their disease healed, their body healed. And I don't know about the rest of their life because I didn't keep up with all those women. But I know for myself, I never had another single problem in that regard. Well, that is when I decided I have to learn about this. I have to understand if we can heal even what's going on in the body just by changing our minds, this is what I want to be doing with my life. And that is actually what propelled me to go back to graduate school and, you know, study psychology and get a master's degree in that so that I could actually have the credentials to work with people in the way that I wanted to do. Of course, the problem was, you know, when you have a master's degree and you're a therapist, especially I was a behavioral psychologist for a long time, you can only do certain things and there are other things you can't do. And so I did that for a long time, and I feel like I paid my dues, and then I became a minister so that I could actually work with people the way that I wanted to work with people and do things that were more focused on spirituality rather than just straight psychology. And so that's how I got really interested in energy psychology, because that was my introduction to it. And so the Cameron Method is a sort of like, if you were listening to the show a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief, that basically gives the science for how what happens in our bodies is determined by what we're thinking, what we believe, but it's not just our conscious beliefs, it's our subconscious beliefs. The energy psychology that Bruce Lipton talked about was Psych-K, and Psych-K has been around for a long time, and it's similar, in my opinion, to the Cameron Method, because it's like you go through a list, a long, long list, and you're clearing subconscious belief patterns so that certain things, you know, like fear of success or fear of failure or fear of being rich or fear of being poor, it's like you go through a whole list of things and you clear those particular fears, and it's a very helpful thing to do. But energy psychology as a whole is a really new paradigm in healing, because it no longer has to take months or years usually of therapy and boxes of tissues to resolve problems, whether those are mental, emotional, or whether those are actually physical. Since 1999, really, I mean, the U.S. Surgeon General in 1999 reported on mental health states that the mind and the body are inseparable. That's our U.S. Surgeon General. So why this isn't used more in medical situations, I don't know. But I know a lot of people who use it. And I'm not saying don't go see your doctor, because, of course, if you have a medical issue, you need to see your doctor. But if you want to try to be empowered and take care of things on your own as well as your regular medical treatment, then energy psychology is a really great place to start with that. It goes along with what quantum physics has known and proposed for, you know, over 100 years, that not only are the mind and the body inseparable, as the U.S. Surgeon General told you in 1999, there's one energy in the whole universe, and it's part of all of us, and all of us are part of it. So when we work with energy, with intention, we're actually working with that quantum field, if you want to call it that. And we're working with the actual love or the God energy that's in the universe itself. And when we bring that light, that love, into what is unconscious, it actually changes it into more light, more love, more consciousness. And so Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, that Oprah Winfrey did a 10-week video thing about a few years back, explains that whole process beautifully of how to actually get present with whatever the problem is. And the problem disappears, actually, because if you bring light into darkness, the darkness goes away. Why? Well, because there really is no such thing as darkness. There's only an absence of light. And you can see that because you bring light to darkness, the darkness disappears. Where did it go? It didn't go anywhere. It was never there. It was just an absence of light. And from a spiritual perspective, that's what a problem is. A problem doesn't really exist. A problem is just a lack of God, a lack of love, a lack of divine presence in your awareness. And so you bring your divine presence, you bring God to that so-called problem. And guess what? It just disappears. Because it wasn't really a problem. There wasn't really anything there. It was just an absence of your sense of being connected with that power that is greater than you, conscious mind, that is greater than the problem, that it's the power that runs the universe. You can call that love. You can call that God. I like to call that presence, because then, you know, it doesn't have any weird connotations with it that the word God has for some people. It's just presence. It's your beingness. And nobody can make any rules about that for you. That's yours. And so what energy psychology, and again, I'm saying I really have to talk in very general terms because there's so many of them. The ones I am most familiar with are the what I talked about before, the Cameron Method, EFT, which is the Emotional Freedom Technique, PEAT, P-E-A-T, WOW Processing, and TAT, the Tapas Acupressure Technique. Those are the ones that I know the best. Those are the ones that I'm going to talk about more because I've either studied or taught or used all of those to, you know, a pretty large extent. So I feel like I can talk about them and with a little bit of understanding anyway. And basically what you're doing in not in the Cameron Method. The Cameron Method is, I'm not even sure if that would really be called energy psychology because that's just looking at what the subconscious beliefs are and then using your conscious mind to change those subconscious beliefs. That's pretty conscious. It's not actually using the energy fields of the body like the other EFT, TAT, WOW, and PEAT are. But basically all of those that I'm going to talk most about, EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, PEAT, P-E-A-T, TAT, which is the Tapas Acupressure Technique, and WOW Processing. WOW stands for Welcoming, Oneness, and Well-Being. Those four, like most other energy psychologies, use the understanding of the meridians, the energy flows in the body, and use certain points on the body or certain hand movements to activate that energy flow in a certain way in combination with certain things that you're saying or you're thinking. And the meridians, again, I'm just going to say this for those of you who have never heard that word. Meridian just means the energy flow through the body. And Chinese medicine has used it for, well, it depends, anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 years, depending on who you're talking to about that. And the Chinese, it's generally called qi or ki or life force. And those points on the body that access those energy flows, they're like windows into those, I don't know, you could think of it as like rivers of energy that flow through you. And so when we use various forms of energy psychology, we're bringing into connection your conscious mind, what you consciously know, and your intention with this energy flow throughout your body. And whether you know it or not, your body is an electromagnetic field. Science has now proven this, even Western medicine. has now proven that there is this electromagnetic field around your body, around every organ in your body, and quite literally around every cell in your body. And so an underlying concept in energy psychology is that energy follows your intention. So when you use certain positions, certain hand positions, or you touch certain points on your body to open up that energy flow along with a particular intention, then positive conscious energy is being directed into what had been unconscious. And what spiritual teachers know, as well as psychotherapists for that matter, is that emotion is stored in the body. Memories of traumatic events or fear or shame or guilt or whatever is actually stored in the physical body, and it's also stored in the brain. And from the research that's been done at this point, if you're interested in the brain like I am,
I'm so sorry to say that for whatever technical difficulties, this recording ended. And so I don't have the last of this talk on this recording, but you can find out more about the WOW process at thewowprocess.com, and you can find out about all the other energy psychologies that I was talking about if you just look them up online. And hopefully sometime in the near future I will actually do another show where I'm talking about those specifically. I do apologize for the abrupt ending. Take good care.